because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning. I have to give you a fair warning here on January the 8th that I couldn't, I was in a particular urge, hurry, whatever you want to say, to get down here today. And I had one of those nights, I don't know if it ever happened to you, about 3:30, I was rocketed straight up in my bed. Boom, I was wide awake. You know, like all of you, I get up, go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and usually go back and crawl back in that warm bed beside my wife, go right back to sleep. And man, from the time, something's happening here. You know, I saw a national organization, which I can't remember which one it is, was playing that theme song yesterday. The old Buffalo Springfield, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly, you know the one I'm talking about. Well, somebody shot that thing out yesterday as if they're just waking up to it, because something is happening here. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not. I haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about Iraq. I just haven't. And I haven't spent a whole lot of time speaking about Iraq because I don't have my finger on it. And I'm not going to try to come on here and wobble back and forth and support Trump no matter what, or hate Trump no matter what. Something is going on, and I don't know exactly what it is yet. Don't have a finger on it. And I've learned this. You're going to trust in the Lord, you're going to trust in the Lord. And Bible tells us that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end result is death and destruction. And something is going on that we do not, in the spiritual sense, have an understanding of. There are some things that go on that we just don't understand, that we don't have the capability. And I prayed this morning before we went on the show, as I always do, that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. I just want the truth. I don't want to support Trump just to support Trump, so that I might say, see, Coach, you've been supporting him all the time, and now he got us in a war. I don't want to play that game. It isn't about him. It isn't about any of that stuff. It's about truth. It's about righteousness. It's about unweaving a tangled web that's been weaved all around. How long, folks, when did you first become aware of issues in the Middle East? I'll tell you when I did. It was when Jimmy Carter was president of the United States and they seized the embassy in Iran. Remember that? And our hostages were locked up and there for, over a year? Hostages in Iran? And you know, we've been at war over there ever since then. Ever since then. The prophetic clock began to roll and people began to talk about, you know, the Middle East and Israel and Syria and all that's been going on since 1979, maybe longer than that. So all of a sudden, here we are, what seems like an escalation of another war. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't have it figured out yet. You can see. I haven't figured out. So I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to go where I want to go today, which is why I believe I was awakened this morning, playing off of yesterday when we were talking about if we really believe that he is the King of Kings, the King of Kings, that apart from him, there is no other God. How can Christianity stand on an equal platform with all of these other phony religions? How can not every truth is true. Excuse me. The job of the media is not to tell you the story. Their job is to tell you a story. A story, not the story. They want to tell you a truth. Or as Oprah would say, we all have our own truths. And because we don't understand it, we don't have the ability to understand and discern, because sometimes the Lord has not given us a great understanding, a revelation of what's happening. There's nothing wrong to sit in confusion and say, I don't know. Well, hey, coach, what do you think about what's gone over in Iran? I don't know. I don't know what to think. I can think on both sides of it. I can read all the arguments everybody else is making, but I'm going to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, I ain't got figured out yet. I don't know. So I'm not going to delve into that, but I'm going to delve into something else I want you to think about. Oh, I got a lot today. Lord, be good to me here today, Lord. A lot to do. Been watching a lot of firings of football coaches, NFL football coaches. Stay with me. Buy something together. Cleveland Browns fired a guy that had been a football coach 1 year. Nobody can build a program in 1 year. Nobody can. Bill Belichick's been who was fired one time by the Cleveland Browns, Bill Belichick was. Bill Belichick has been the head coach of the New England Patriots for 20 years. And it's amazing that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots seem to be near the finals, the top of the heap, every stinking year. And I hear people say, well, coach, it's because Belichick he's built a great organization. He's put together an unbelievable, not just a football team, he's put together an organization. And that organization functions like a machine. And yet the Cleveland Browns, they can't hold a coach for more than 2 years, maybe three. But the last one they had, that Hugh Jackson, 2.5 years. They fired him after 2.5 years. Well, look, stay with me. It takes a while to build an organization. It takes a while. As a high school football coach myself, I really only had, as a head coach, I only had three different head coaching jobs. Heath High School, London High School, Fairfield Christian Academy. I was only head coach at three different schools. And each school that I went into, the program was down, and I spent the minimum of 8 years building a program. And at the end of our fourth year, if you're a football coach and your team's not good after 4 years, people need to look at you. 4 years is enough to put together good. Three, really. The four is to figure out whether you're an effective team builder or not, right? 4 years. Because what do? You get your system in place. And I was pondering yesterday, just thinking about all the firings and everything that's going on in the NFL, and I thought about this. My. How long did Obama have to build an organization? A government organization. Putting his coaches in the right place, bringing in his right draft choices and putting them in the right places, and appointing his judges and putting his judges in the right place, and bringing in his deep state officials and putting them in the right place, and having 10 years. Obama was president 8 years. But Donald Trump has come in, and now he's trying to dismantle an organization. He's trying to follow Bill Belichick and tearing down an organization. We see that going on. And because we don't understand that, if you had 10 years, 8 years, to be president of the United States, what kind of organization could you build if you knew what you were doing? If your intent was to radically transform the United States of America and you had 8 years to do it. And I was always proud of the fact that when I left the organization, every football team I did better the year I left. Don't miss that. They did better the year I left. Why? Because the organization was still in place. And whether or not I was effective was judged on that first year I left, second year I left, about the third year, maybe late second year, about the third year I left, you would find the effectiveness of the guy who followed me. Because, again, remember, it takes 3 years to build a program. It takes three to unbuild one. And I think if you look back over much of my coaching career, that's exactly what happened. They got better the year I left. and then peaked and then started back down. So, Coach, what are you saying? I'm not talking about football. If you think I'm talking about football, you're missing the whole thing. So we see it in America, whether you think Donald Trump's the answer or not, we see it in America where there has been a regimen change. Actually, can I say this? I think George Bush, at least the second term of George Bush, at least going into the Middle East, was the first term of Obama. That's what I think. When we went into the Middle East and we started changing all kinds of leaders over there and regimen change, that began with the George W. Bush. So I think we're seeing 12 years of building a program that Obama had. I'm not talking politics. If you think I'm talking politics, you're missing something. Yeah, I whacked my finger pretty good yesterday. Don't mean to gross you out. So I ask myself this, playing off of yesterday, what is Satan's goal? What's Satan's goal? Because Satan has been working a long time, building himself a very powerful organization. And dare I say it, the Lord's organization, the team the Lord has built, has not been as effective. Rob's asking me a question.
Hey,
go ahead.
I think that's because people have been building it instead of the Lord.
Or whatever. The Lord's kingdom is being built. We understand. You get my point, though, right, Larry? We get the devil has an unbelievable organization. I'm telling you, from top to bottom. So what is Satan's goal? What is it, really? I guess I'm going to throw that question out there.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
He wants to take all he wants to the place of the second death.
Okay. What's his goal? Why? Sarge just put up in there DNA, seed of the serpent, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. The very destruction, I think, of those who bear the image of God, the image bearers of Christ. His goal, I think, is the total destruction of the image bearers of Christ. There's been a lot of ways that he's gone about doing that. And most of it has had to do with the fact that he has attacked our loyalty and our fealty and our fidelity to Christ and his word. That's what's been under attack. The truth of the gospel of the kingdom of God. As God was building his kingdom, which he was, Satan was continually undermining it. Continually undermining. Why? Because we know that there's a battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That's Genesis 4. So there's something about the seed that the enemy wants to destroy.
Coach, I think you're 100% right that is his tactic, that is his modus operandi, is to attack the seed of God. However, his goal, he said it himself, he wants to be higher. He wants to be like God. That's his goal.
So, Larry, that leads all into transhumanism and artificial intelligence and everything, right? The devil thinks if he can control the minds of men, then he is like God. He will be God. If he is in control, as Mark Trump would talk to us about the implanting of being able to communicate with machines and the mind and bypass. That's where this is all heading, right? Because we are the image bearers of Christ. And if the devil can somehow kidnap, I don't even know if that's the right word. If the devil can somehow take over the image bearers of Christ to where they serve him, it's fait accompli, isn't it? Isn't that really what he's trying to do? And he's being successful at it. Why is he being successful at it? Because he's had a long time to build an organization, much of which has not been opposed. Because I can tell you this, listen, our human nature makes it harder for us to do what's right than it is to do what's wrong. It makes it harder for us to do what's right than it is to do what's wrong. It's harder.
Amen.
And we cannot do it, dare I say it, without the mind of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And so what's the devil after? He's after the mind. It's the battleground of the mind. It's the changing of the truth of the scriptures, the truth of what's right and wrong, the truth of the very nature of a human being, a man being a man and a woman being a woman, the very changing of the actual image of Christ. That's what the devil's after. Come on in.
Capture every thought.
Take
if you don't capture it, if you don't, what kind of thought is it? What happens to that thought? It goes into action. That is exactly right. It happens in the mind. And I'll just say this briefly. I've told it to many people. Every moment, every second, every minute, every day, you focus your mind and then your body acts. Where is your focus? Is it for God? Does it propel your body? And but if the Satan can interrupt that and distract you, you won't capture your thought. You won't spend that action on God. You are dead on, Coach.
Stay with me, man. I'm just getting rolling here. I'm telling you, I was up at 3:30. I was up at 3:30 this morning wrestling with truth. Everything, folks, listen. Everything that we watch, that we hear, that we see is totally about manipulation. It's all manipulation. It's all designed to influence the way you think, the way you feel, the way you react, the way you respond. Everything that you watch on that TV, everything you watch on that internet, everything you watch in the movies, everything you watch on Netflix is designed to do nothing more than confuse you and draw you away from the truth. That is, folks.
That's right, Coach.
Randy, I just feel it so deep. I can't
Amen.
Even tell you.
You're
I
on
can't
it.
Even tell you how deep it is. See, and we are. We don't have the mind of Christ. I'm gonna get. Oh Lord, stay with me here,
Coach. Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
Okay, I turned off the television, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. It changed me. It changed my lifestyle. It changed my behavior, a lot of things. Okay, now I go down the road and all the billboards, I look at one for just a second and I see, is it good or evil, pretty much. If it's evil or something that's taking my mind off of the things of God and what's right, I immediately say, don't look, just turn away. It's about,
capture your thoughts.
This is about discipline. It's about spiritually disciplining yourself. And that's what we're getting to, Coach.
So, Randy, that's why I said today, I'm not going to go into the whole debate of what's going on in Iran, because right now it's not clear to me. I can only take captive every thought, and then when I take captive that thought, be able to funnel it through the Holy Spirit, and I don't know yet. I don't know yet. And so we get into trouble with speculation. You turn on the TV right now, which I haven't done. I can only imagine Fox News, MSNBC. Can you imagine the speculations that are going forth out there about what's going on? And nobody really knows. I can play you a video right now of some woman rejoicing that guy was killed. Yay, we Iranians. Yay, we're free. And I can show you where they're moaning and groaning and crying. It's all manipulation designed to draw you away from the truth. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Coach. So you got the mental part processing. How do you either are driven by your internal motivation and will, the Holy Spirit, or another spirit, which isn't of God,
right,
that drives you into action. But where does your external input come from? You mentioned TV. Randy mentioned billboard. You see, our spirit being, before our body existed, God knew us. These bodies are a robot machine that mm-hmm. our spirit is housed in.
That's right.
They have sensors. We have eyes. We have ears. That's how the devil influences us, is through our sensors.
Amen.
Whenever you look at a billboard, capture your thoughts. It's your sensors. Whenever you hear something, capture. Capture, because that's how Satan is distracting us, is through the fleshly sensors that's housing a holy, holy spirit. And our flesh died on the cross with Jesus. It's a robot, and you need to maintain your robot. You need to maintain Amen. These physical systems.
Amen.
Coach, you are so dead on, Coach. You're so dead on.
No, I was walking with the Holy Spirit this morning. I said, Lord, what's really going on here? Holy Spirit, what's really going on here? What's really going on? And as clear as I've ever heard anything, I heard this. Depravity. I thought, what? Depravity. Webster's, Jared. Depravity. Satan's goal is depravity. It's depravity. That's his goal. We read it in Romans. I'll get there in a second. Depravity. Where are you there, Jared? Webster says what? Depravity. A depraved mind. Corruption, a vitiated state, as the depravity of manners and of morals, a culture and a society without manners and without morals, or dare I say, a change in manners, a vitiated state of the heart. Vitiated means totally corrupted. A totally corrupted state of the heart. Now, I'm not talking about believers, but I'm telling you, believers, this is where the enemy's trying to take us. This is Satan's goal, a depraved mind, a vitiated state of the heart being what? The very essence of who we are, a depravity, a wickedness, a corruption of moral principles, destitution of holiness or good principles, of the depraved mind. That's what the devil's after. That's always after. Because if he gets your mind, if he can take your mind and deprave your mind and take away from you the mind of Christ, you become his servant. He does become your God. I'm not done.
Amen.
Somebody else tried to come in. I heard it. Come on in.
Yeah, Coach. Yeah. You know, the picture, and I've been thinking about this lately ever since Christmas. A good image is, if you remember the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Remember mm-hmm. what happened to that town? It became, if George Bailey was not around, it became known as Pottersville. Get the uh-huh. picture of Pottersville. That's a pretty good image.
That is a good image, Glenn. It is a good image. And see, we love to call ourselves the remnant. Do you know who the remnant is? This is so simple. This is so simple if we just understand what the Lord has said to us. You know what the remnant is? The remnant are the ones who haven't been spoiled by depravity. That's the remnant. That's all the remnant is. And you think about our churches. Are our churches, are they fighting to keep the mind from being depraved? Is that the goal? Or have our churches turned worldly? And as soon as your church turns worldly, all of your moral compass is screwed up. So we're told in Romans, reprobate. Jared, let's go there. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Jared, I'm sorry. Jared, go back to Webster and look up reprobate. They're the same, depravity, reprobate. What is reprobate? Reprobate is not enduring proof. Just sit there. We are surrounded by those people who do not require proof. They don't care about proof. It's feelings, right? Not of standard purity or fineness. Reprobate, disallowed, rejected. Number two, abandoned in sin, lost to virtue or grace. Is that most people that you come in contact with? Are you shocked when you come across somebody who's not reprobate? When you come across somebody who has virtue and grace, isn't that shocking to run into somebody like that? It says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny God, being abominable and disobedient to every good work. That's Titus 1 through 16. To be reprobate is abandoned to error. To actually believe, totally thinking, sentient human beings believing Bruce Jenner's a woman. How could a mind think that way? But a reprobate, according to the now, is a person abandoned to sin. One lost to virtue and religion.
Coach, you just showed the power of free will. You just showed it. Our mind has the power to look at something and overcome the truth and seeing it. That's how powerful our mind is.
Cognitive dissonance. To look at Bruce Jenner, he puts on some makeup and he's now a woman. There's something wrong with your mind, see? There's something wrong with your mind if you see that. Now, how they poisoned the mind? Because listen, we've been told, all of us have been told, hey, listen, we're not dumb enough, us old folks. Young kids, they're different. But us old folks, we're smart enough to look at Bruce Jenner and know he's Bruce Jenner. Us old folks, we know that, right? We know that. So Satan, Beelzebub, the slewfoot, he knows we're too smart for that. So he's going to attack us in a different way. He's going to make our mind reprobate in a different way. He's going to come and say, oh, yeah? Well, you're homophobic. Well, you're bigoted. You're old-fashioned. You're judgmental. And so those of us who still have the ability to even think are impacted in our mind to not even express or believe what we think. Being convinced by Beelzebub that to say what we see is somehow unloving, unkind. And as a result, more Americans are being given over to a reprobate mind than we even understand.
Amen, Coach.
Now, Jared, pull up Romans 1. I got this at 3:30 this morning. I mean, I'm just telling you. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Go to about 16. I'm going to start right there, Jared, because we know Romans 1. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that does what? Believeth. Believe. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Where is the right? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Wherein? Where? Where is it revealed? Well, in the gospel of Christ. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's written, you just shall live by faith, right? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Guys, how can you hold the truth in unrighteousness? How can the truth ever be unrighteous? Other than you hold the truth, yet you don't defend the truth. You're not loyal to the truth. But that which may be known of God is obvious, for God showed it to us. For the invisible things of him, the creation world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So everybody understands about the God. See, the far, if the devil can get you sinning and away from God, then the devil will convince you there is no God. Because if there is a God and you are answerable to him, the deeper you get into your sin, the less you want God to be real. I don't know if you're getting this or not. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. I'm heading somewhere. Let's go to 24, Jared. I want you to watch something here. Wherefore, God also gave them up. For the first time ever, I read Romans again this morning when I was getting ready for the show. I never saw that four different times that word is used. God gave them up. Watch. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own bodies, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Time out a minute. What does it mean to give them? What would that mean? Give them up. What does that mean?
The Holy Spirit's out of the picture. There's no conviction.
No conviction.
It means God turned them over to the influence they decided they want to follow.
But I believe, it, isn't it? Huh?
I believe God, that.
Just like I we believe, would see. I'm sorry, Larry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe that God does give folks up to follow that which they choose to follow. It did that back in Ezekiel's day. But
right,
I do not believe he gives up on them to have the opportunity to turn around.
Not the same thing, is it? It's like you would say to your own child, hey, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. Boy, you ever had that conversation with your wife? And in the midst of that conversation with your wife, you really have something you want to do, and you're trying to get her to amen it. Amen. Michelle's done this to me 100 times. And then finally she just says to me, well, hey, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. That's what this is. God says, hey, you're going to do what you're going to do. I ain't arguing with you. But I want you to watch 4 times. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own body. There's a physical giving up. There's a physical, their own bodies. Who changed the truth of God into lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who's blessed forever. And for this cause, what? God gave them up. And to what? Vile affections, their heart. It went from their body to their heart. Now he's given up their heart to vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's against nature. Why? Because your heart tells you you're gay. Your heart tells you you want to sleep with that woman even though you're married to somebody else. And so the Lord says, okay, he gives up your heart. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust one towards another, men with men, doing that which is unseemly, yada, yada, yada. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, guess what happened? God gave them up, gave them over to a reprobate mind. We just read that. What's a reprobate mind? One without morals. And he goes on and on and on about all the things that happens when you give up your mind. When you give up your mind, you're filled with unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness. See, it's all in the mind. When you lose the mind, you lose all morality. You lose all reason. You lose all sense. God gave him up. He gave him up. That's what we're fighting against, folks. Without natural affection, implacable and merciful, without understanding. Backbiters, haters of God, disobedient, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Why? Because we gave up our mind, our will, and our emotion to all of these things. Feed the flesh. I've been on a tear here. But I got to do this, Jared. I can't ignore it. Go to Romans 2. Piggybacking off of what we talked about yesterday. Remember, don't ever forget this, folks. There are no chapter breaks in the Bible. Right? There are no chapter breaks. So Paul goes on and says, therefore thou art inexcusable, man. Whosoever thou art that judges, for therein the judges not. In other words, he says, don't do what you say you don't do. Don't say you're a Christian and not be one. Don't do that. Don't do that, he says. Goes on down through that. On down and on. It's all good. Read Romans 2 on your own later on today. But I got to show you something. Verse 8. No, where do I want to start? For there is no respect of... Okay, verse 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. God says he's going to render to every man according to his deeds. Those who by patience continue to follow the ways of the Lord for eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, those who want to fight with the Lord, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, I'm bringing indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there's no respecter of persons with God. In other words, he don't think more of the Jews than he does of me. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are justified by God, but the doers of the law. For if you're going to live by the law, baby, you got to live by the law. If that's going to be it, if you're going to be justified by the law, okay, you can use that standard if you want to, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, the conscience bearing witness of what's in the heart. That's what Romans 1 is all about, their conscience bearing witness of what's in their heart. Wow. And in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, beloved, thou art called a Jew and resteth in the law and makest thy boast of God. He said, I'm a Jew. I follow the law. Paul says, better be careful. And knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. When you are a law pronouncer, when you think that you are saved because you are a rule follower, Paul says, an instructor of fool, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge, and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal? You that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, do you commit sacrilege? You that maketh a boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonoreth God? For the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles. Through you, as it is written. I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keepeth the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is not any good. Hey, boys and girls, who gets circumcised? Who gets circumcised? The rule followers, right? Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of his law, so shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision. I'm about done here. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, in other words, to get circumcised is unnatural, if it fulfill the law. Do you get circumcised just because the law tells you to? Are you judged by the letter in circumcision? Does that transgress the law? Because watch, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I'm trying to connect together the idea of how the reprobate mind has overridden all of the law, the rejection of the law. And the only way that we can become in right standing with Lord, the Lord, is to be circumcised in the heart. An inward transformation, not a birthright tradition. Lack of a better word. Somebody come in. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry, but I'm just feeling it. I'm just feeling it today. The devil's after our mind. He's after our mind. Hey, Jared, one more thing. Go back to Webster. Because I asked yesterday, is our fidelity, is there really only one God? Is Jesus the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Is he on par with Buddha? Is Jesus on par with Muhammad? Is Jesus on par with Krishna? Is he on par with him? Well, Jared, what does the word fidelity mean? Fidelity. Faithfulness. Careful and exact observation of duty. Firm adherence to a person or party with which one is united or to which one is bound. Loyalty. Observance of the marriage covenant. Honesty. Veracity. Adherence to truth. By the way, who's the truth? And are we committing adultery when we take the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and bring him down to the level of Muhammad and Buddha, Krishna?
Yes.
It's serious stuff, I think. I think it's serious stuff. And so where did the idea of all of this tolerance and diversity, where did it all come? It's nothing more than the watering down of truth. And those of us who are supposed to have fidelity to the truth, those of us who are Jews inwardly, we're not faithful. We're not faithful to the king that we say that we serve when we welcome in other kings. It would be like at my 40th anniversary, let's do this, my 67th wedding, our 67th birthday, which I just had. What if I had invited all my girlfriends? And my wife would have been there, but all my other girlfriends, had them all come around there, because they're all equal. They're all equal. I don't think Michelle would have liked that very well. Can I tell you something else? I don't think I'd have liked it very well. Yeah, Rog.
Well, I would say most of the men and women on the queue this morning do not equate the other religions with Christ. Okay, so I think the majority that are part of our discussion do not.
Right.
The question is, what has opened the gate on most mainstream religions? Why is it that they now view Christianity as kind of just one way and we want to be nice to other people? It went so far as Billy Graham saying one time, you know, there are other ways to heaven. What took us there?
A depraved mind. A depraved mind.
A reprobate, a lack of the desire for truth.
Amen. Amen.
Satan's first recorded interaction with man was questioning truth.
Did God really say? Right? Did God really say? And see, somewhere along the line, we became convinced that being nice to non-believers was somehow righteous and Christian. Rather than saying to the reprobate Muslims, get out of here, we welcome them in. We're all equal. This freedom of religion. You get it? The attack on the mind? And, you know, Mike Heath said something the other day that just stuck with me. In fact, I'm thinking about writing on it. And he said, Mike, I forget. it'll come back to me. Point being this, straight talkers, there aren't any. There aren't any. That's why Trump is so disruptive. Our entire can somebody name for me one bold Christian political leader? One. Give me one. Can somebody name one? Why are those who are most making the argument for Christianity non-Christians? Donald Trump's making the argument for it. Ben Shapiro's making the argument for it. Jordan Peterson's making the argument for it. Where are the Christian voices? Where are the strong, bold Christian voices? Name one for me.
Huckabee.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
See, you can't be a politician and be bold. You can't. Because to be bold, to be a bold Christian automatically limits your audience. At least that's what they told us.
And even when you're bold, Coach, people who are bold are all levels of bold. You know, so you could have very, very moderate Christians who are speaking out, which it's right on the line of them doing it for their personal gain or for the kingdom. You know, those are the ones who are on the shy side of boldness. Then you got the ones who throw all caution to the wind, which aren't any. There really aren't any.
Hey, Mark, I'll tell you who has boldness. It's the person that has the mind of Christ. Let's get back to that, Coach. The mind of Christ. How do we have the? How do we get the mind of Christ, Coach? It's right there in 1 Corinthians 2, about 11 through 16. And it's here's the answer. Paul gives us the answer. It's when we are spiritually, we're spiritual. It's there. There's the answer. That is how we can have the mind of Christ, Coach, right there. We don't get it. We don't get it by being not just being educated or in the intellect or how much we know. It's how much Christ is in us. That's how much. That's what determines.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him. Right? Nobody knows your heart but you. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. We don't understand the things of God. But the Spirit of God in us reveals those things to us. But on our own, we don't know that. Why? Because we're depraved. Now, we've not received not the spirit of the world. Boys, we have received the spirit of the world. We have received it. Paul said we haven't received that spirit. Who? Believers? But the spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Let me ask you a question. How could any Christian denomination, Christian leader, ever accept sodomy if that is not a spirit of the world? How could that ever be acceptable?
Maybe a sideways answer to your question is this. The word tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how can anyone anywhere be led without hearing direction to follow?
Mm.
If you're led by the Spirit of God, you have to be hearing from the Spirit of God. If you're not hearing from the Spirit of God, you're not being led by the Spirit.
Amen, Larry. So the natural man, the Bible says, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. What Mark was talking about, taking captive every thought. See, the natural man can't do that. The natural man cannot take captive every thought. Why? For it's foolishness to him. He can't do it. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But the spiritual judges all things. In other words, the spiritual man is able to see the same thing the unspiritual man sees, but he's able to spiritually discern it. That is the mind of Christ. I see Bruce Jenner. I see a man. Other people see Bruce Jenner and they've been convinced he's a woman. They can't process spiritual things because why? They have a reprobate mind. They have a depraved mind. Yeah. We have the mind of Christ. I got the mind of Christ. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12, Jared.
Dave, go back to the definition of reprobate mind. Is it not, didn't you say it is the issue of not either seeking truth or understanding truth?
Yes. It means to not enduring proof, no standard of purity, abandoned to sin, lost to virtue and grace, abandoned to error. You believe lies. The reprobate mind believes lies. They deny the truth. The reprobate mind. Romans 12, Jared. I think I said that. I'm sorry. Guys, this is really deep.
Coach, every decision we make, we're at the trees. There's the tree of life, which is God's food. And then there's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the food of the soul of Satan. Okay, we have to decide right there. That's taking the thought captive right there. That's where we're at. So we have to choose right there, Coach. That's where we're at. With everything, it's a spiritual decision. And if you don't have that spiritual man in you, alive and well, you fall and you have no choice. You eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Anyway, that's just the way it happens.
So watch this here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is Romans 1, 12, verse 1, that you present your bodies. There it is, presenting a physical body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to the world. Why? Because the world is focusing on their bodies, on the physical aspect of life. That's where the world is focusing. And Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the way you think. If you control your mind, you control your body. If your body's in control, it controls your mind. Oh my goodness, that is so deep. If you control your mind, you control your body. If you don't control your body will control your mind. That's the battle. The natural man, given over by God to ignore truth. That's what's happened to us. It's everywhere. That's why the rest of us seem like we're such freaks. That's why I get emails every day from a cadre of homos criticizing the show and all this kind of stuff. I'm thinking, what is with these guys? Well, I know what it is. They haven't taken captive. They don't have the ability to take captive every thought. They are functioning off of their hormones and off of the natural man. How could I possibly expect them to get it?
Hey, Coach.
Help me wrap this up here. Go ahead.
Sounds to me like you're talking a lot about faith and works. See, the works part is the part that we've gotten rid of, and then the body takes over when you stop dealing with your body. The body takes over. And what is the body? It's a thing that you work with. You do works through your body. You have to.
Right. That's right. That's right. And that's why the enemy has done everything he can to poison the mind. Because he knows if he poisons the mind, he gets the body.
Coach, a person without the mind of Christ is a mindless person. He's an empty skull being filled by the devilish ways.
Just operating off of his carnal, fleshly desires, Dale. That's all it is.
Well, Coach, that goes back to the animal instinct, the difference in the garden between us and the animals. God breathed his spirit. He gave us the mind of Christ at that point. That's mindless, you're exactly right. We revert to animal instincts where dogs will hump anything, right? That's pretty much it.
And if you take it to the brain, Coach, where does thought come from? Your brain is a storage device and a memory process unit. But whenever you are driven to do something, it comes from your actual feelings deep down mm-hmm. inside that drives you mm-hmm. to determine right from wrong. So that right there is an element of how we're bridging the spirit will into our actions. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, your feeling still comes from a place deep down within that causes your brain to act. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, what spirit's driving you?
So, Mark, that's why when I woke up in the middle of the night at 3:30, sat up straight in my bed, all morning I've been saying, Lord, what was that? What was that that woke me up? Was that just a thought that I had? What was that? What was that thought that was planted in my brain? Because I want to take captive. Mm-hmm. I want to take captive. And I can't take it captive because I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. What was it, Lord? It's bothered me all morning. Robert, January 8th.
Yeah, Jared, if you'll pull up Romans 15:4, since Coach had been in Romans, let's pull up 15:4. This is a good verse as well. And it's relevant to where we are today. It says, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through perseverance, patience, and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Like Coach said, it's a battle in the mind, what we believe, what we think.
It is. It controls everything we do. We have to be careful, because theology will control what we think. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I've got to go to the Word. Okay, January 8th says, be leavened to those whom the Spirit is convicting, so you will not chase off those whom the Lord, the Son, is drawing.
Amen. Amen.
Persevering by the Word. In these last days, the Word of God is being rewritten by proud scribes.
Yes.
Censored by the depraved. You mentioned depraved, Coach.
Well, it's all right here, right? They're changing everything.
Censored by the depraved, paraphrased beyond description, peddled for profit, and adulterated by compromise.
Wow.
It is divided asunder rather than rightly divided.
Mm.
Often is thrown on the shelf to collect dust rather than treasured in the heart to dispose of sin. When there's no acknowledgement of its inspiration, no appreciation for its wisdom, no agreement to its teaching, no wonder of its power, and no tolerance of its commands, you'll find the good, the bad, and the ugly all thinking they are perfectly fine.
Amen.
They prefer pleasant words of men that tickle the ears and soothe their conscience.
Let me stop you right there, Robert, because I was just thinking about this. Folks, think about when you go to church. Is the church sermon you hear over and over basically designed to please the flesh, to help you have a better life, to encourage your hope, for you to be able to get through it? It's all about you. Stuff. Comfort. Go ahead, Robert.
That's true. But praise the Lord that many Christians are becoming spiritually awakened and prepared to not only persevere, but also to prevail and overcome in these last days, difficult days.
Difficult days, yes.
It seems that the majority are content with merely professing Christ, sleeping in the pews, and stumbling in darkness. Rather than being filled with the Spirit, they are intoxicated with the world, with their heads in the sand, and their lives in the gutter.
Mm.
Yet the Lord, Christ, Jesus Christ, is raising up a mighty army and faithful remnant who confess him as Lord, who magnify him and proclaim his mighty name, having their eyes fixed on him and their mind preoccupied with him.
So right there it is, Robert. Right there it is, folks. There's the remnant. You want to know who the remnant is? A mighty army of faithful remnant who confess him as Lord, magnify him and proclaim his mighty name, having their eyes fixed on him and their mind preoccupied with him. That's the remnant. The remnant are those who have the Spirit of God inside them, living, dwelling, directing inside of them, right? That's the battle. It's a battleground of the mind. Every day, if we can understand that, every day, if we can look around and understand how the enemy is trying to influence us, what we see and what we hear and what we feel and what we emote, if we can understand that all of those things are counterproductive to the Spirit of God, and take captive every thought, that we not be dominated by our emotions and our feelings and what we see and what we hear. For the word of God, wow, stands forever. Bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.